Welcome here this morning. My name's Keith. I'm the lead pastor here. If you're new or a visitor, we're just thankful that you're here. And I have my friend Mackenzie here. And we're going to have a bit of a dialogue this morning. But before I make some introductions, or Mackenzie makes some introductions of who she is, let me say a few things at the outset. Normally, at the beginning of June and through the month of June, often in the past, we've taken the month to do a series called Let's Talk, where we consider things that the church should be talking about, whether they're things that everyone's talking about or nobody's talking about, and we should. Well, this year, we're not doing that series, but this morning will feel a little bit like that as we continue on in our series, where we consider what it means to join Jesus in his mission in the world. As we've been learning all year, a disciple is someone who walks with Jesus, becomes like Jesus, and joins in what Jesus is doing. And this morning, I've invited Mackenzie to come and help us walk through what it means to join Jesus in reconciliation. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, it says this. It says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," meaning Jesus, "and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Jesus reconciles. It's what he does. It's one of the things he came to do through the cross. Jesus mends what is broken. He restores us to God, but also restores us to one another. And so, disciples of Jesus, as we follow him, we can anticipate that we will follow him on walking this good road of reconciliation. Mackenzie and I met at something called a Reconciliation Collective, which is a group of local church leaders who are gathering together because we believe we want to walk this good path of reconciliation together. And that's where I met Mackenzie, Indigenous and non-Indigenous people together, trusting that Jesus has a way forward as we walk this good path together. And so Mackenzie is going to take a moment to introduce herself, and then she's going to open a bit of our dialogue together, because this sermon time is going to be a dialogue. As we open our hearts to what it means to follow Jesus in reconciliation. And so as Mackenzie introduces herself, she's going to open our time with a couple drum songs. And that might feel a little unfamiliar to you, but Mackenzie's going to lead us through that. Just know that what we're doing is we're inviting Jesus to lead us as we walk this good path of reconciliation. So, Mackenzie. That should be good.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Hi, everyone. So my name is Mackenzie Griffin. I am Korean Soto on my mother's side. I grew up an hour and a half outside of Edmonton area, and my reserve community is Sunchild First Nations, which is kind of Rocky Mountain House, Red Deer, Calgary area. And then my father is Scottish and English mostly, and so he's non-Indigenous. I moved to Kelowna about 6 years ago to take my undergrad in cultural studies and creative writing. And so this first song that I'm going to sing to you is called The Welcome Song, and it is from the Stuart Kitwanga region of northern BC. And so this is a song that comes as we welcome one another to this space together.
Yeah.
And so the second song is called The Healing and Honor Song. And this is a song that was written by Richard Jackson Jr. And it is a song that is often sung for Remembrance Day ceremonies. But another time that it is sung is when we need healing in our life. And so we sing this to honor one another. We sing this to bring healing to our bodies, to our spirits, to our minds. And so I'll sing that one now.
Thank you, Mackenzie, for opening our time together. And when we spoke a little bit about this song, as we met, I think that was a couple weeks ago, I was reflecting on that song for healing and honor, because really that is the prayer and the posture that we take up today as we turn our hearts to Jesus. We want to honor one another. That's walking the good path. But we are also taking up a prayer, Lord, heal us. Heal relationships. Mend people together in the way that only you can do. And so I'm thankful that you open our time by bringing us into that prayer, that posture through this song. And sometimes, let me just name it, sometimes when we hear the drum and song in a different way than we're used to, we're like, ooh, that makes me feel a little strange. But there's something that we need to wrap our heads around. And I think it's something important. It's interesting that when Christian people came to this land that we stand on in our history, typically when Christian people are trying to share the gospel, we take time to learn the language of the people. That's what missionaries do. They take time to learn the language and the culture. But one of the great tragedies of our Canadian history and the church's involvement in that is we took no time to learn the language or the culture. In fact, quite quickly, we went to overriding that and imposing on Indigenous peoples across Canada. And there's a great tragedy there. And so to be able to sing in an Indigenous language in an Indigenous way in a church building is not lost on me. There's something important and powerful that as we pay attention to the Holy Spirit, we need to follow, friends. And so thank you for opening our time, Mackenzie. I have a list of questions that I'm going to ask and Mackenzie's going to answer as we look to walk this good path of reconciliation. So first, you know, just a little introductory things. You're working on a master's degree. You've got a lot going on these days. I know you're even heading out in a couple days to go and do some work in Sioux Falls. And so just tell us a little bit about that and what you're up to.
Yeah, so absolutely. So I'm doing my master's of theology at a school called NAITS, and it's not NATE. NATE is a school in Alberta, but it's NAITS, N-A-I-I-T-S. And that is an Indigenous seminary school. It is a school that is all online. It doesn't have a physical footprint. And part of that reason is because students come from all over the globe. And so some of them are in North America, some of them are from Australia or New Zealand. And then we also have Indigenous students that are from Taiwan or the Philippines. And so this has really grown to be a global community. And so once every year, we meet at partner institutions around the globe. So this year, it'll be in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We'll have a big 3-day conference. We'll have a graduation ceremony where we just get to celebrate one another. And then we'll also have in-person classes. And so this year, I'll be going off to take an Ethic of the Land course, so a land-based theology course. And so I'll be doing that. I'm also working with the Peace and Reconciliation Network. And so the Peace and Reconciliation Network is a group of evangelical churches around the globe that works on peace and reconciliation in their regions. And so part of my role is social media and specifically looking at telling the story. So what are the stories of hope? And then what are the stories that we need to pray into and pay more attention to? And so that's a lot of my role. And so I work with, you know, PRN Europe. I work with PRN Central Asia. So there's these big regions around the world that are doing really, really important work. And so I help to tell that story.
That's great. And you might know Peace and Reconciliation Network. We've had Phil Wagler here, who I don't know what his title there is, but he's...
Global Director.
He's the Global Director of PRN, and so so we're familiar. And so, Mackenzie, tell us, how did you come to be a follower of Jesus?
Mm-hmm. So I was a follower of Jesus pretty much my whole life. I remember being really little, around like 5 or 6, and I just remember, like, you know, praying by my bed and, like, getting on my hands and knees and being like, okay, I'll pray the sinner's prayer. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And I remember just, like, nothing happening. And I was like, okay, so did it work? And then, you know, I kind of went about my day. And, you know, I remember doing that a couple more times every, you know, few months or so. And I would be like, okay, Jesus, like, come into my heart. Like, I'm ready. Like, before I realized, oh, like, he's there. Like, I'm good. And so for me, I spent a lot of time doing Bible camp and youth group. I went to, like, conferences. And so I grew up Pentecostal, and most of my faith was very experiential and emotional. And it was a faith that I was just on fire for Jesus, and I was really pursuing him. I had a very strong calling on my life. From the age of, like, 16, I think I knew that I wanted to pastor, but I didn't know what that would look like. And I remember facing a lot of pushback from that because I was a woman. And so I was like, okay, like, maybe this is not the space for me, but I felt God continuing to keep calling me. And so I said, okay, God, like, I want to go. And so it came time to come to university, and that's why I moved to Kelowna. And so I did my undergrad in creative writing and cultural studies because my dad said, get a real degree first. So I said, okay, I'll try to do that. And so I did that and really learned about my faith. I got connected with University Christian Ministries, which is a wonderful program on campus that connects students. But then I also started to learn more about what it means to be Indigenous. And so that was a big journey for me because I think before then, my grandmother is a residential school survivor, but because of that, my mom didn't talk about her culture. She didn't talk about anything being Native, and in fact, it was really shamed and hidden. Like, we knew it, but we didn't really talk as though we did. And so it wasn't until university that I really started to pursue that.
So, and you told me a bit more of that story when we went for coffee, just about your mom feeling a sense of shame around her Indigenous identity. Can you help us understand where that came from, why it matters, you know, and maybe what role the Christian church played in that sense of shame that she felt just in her own person?
Yeah, so my mom, I was actually chatting with her a little bit last night, and it was really fascinating because I was like, okay, so mom, so like, tell me a bit of your story. And she was like, well, you know, like I found the faith when I was like 13, you know, my uncle invited me and I just went, but everything that I did was very separate. And so I was either, you know, in my native sphere where I would do things that were sort of native, like, or I would be in my Christian sphere and I would never mix the two. And I thought that that was a really important part because I think growing up that was very similar. I was like, I could do things that were native over here. Like I went to like two powwows in my life. It wasn't very much, but I would say, okay, like I can do this, but I can't, you know, smudge or I can't play the drum. None of those things. I didn't grow up with any of that. And part of that is because my grandma, she spoke both of her languages, but she did not pass that on. She was very ashamed of that. In residential schools, taught her, you speak English and you speak English only. And so that was a big role. That was a big part of our journey growing up and a big part of my mom's. And I think for my mom, she didn't even realize she didn't realize that there was that separation. It just was the way that it was. And so for me, when I started to really ask that question, I said, okay, so what does it mean to be Christian? What does it mean to be Indigenous? And is there a way to be both? Because I think I'd been told you can be one or the other, and you can't mix those two. So I realized that that was a big problem for me.
One of the violations, I would say, that I see of residential schools and kind of this colonial thinking that was, you know, part of the Canadian landscape, but also inherently their churches were involved in residential schools. One of the violence that I see done there is somehow the disfiguring of the image of God that God placed in Indigenous people. Right, I can imagine for people, you know, your mom, as you speak about the shame that she felt, she learned that somewhere, as you've said, and it came from a culture and a context where she was told that being Indigenous was not good or important, and it needed to find a different way. I mean, I'm waxing over a lot of complexities there, but I think it's important for us to hear that. I think on a theological level, what we're talking about is the image of God. That this is there are groups of people around the world who are made in the image of God, but have been somehow told that that's not good enough, or that there's something wrong with the way that image is being bared through a particular people group, and that's just wrong. And so, as Christian people, I think we need to have our attention to that. Mackenzie, maybe could you tell us a little bit more about this image of God? How do you see Indigenous peoples that you know, groups that you know, how do you see the image of God shining through them? And what do you think we need to know as a church about the image of God in respect to this whole conversation?
Yeah, so I think for me, I was reading a book called Being God's Image by Carmen Joy Amez. And she has two books. She has one called Bearing God's Name and one called Being God's Image. And one of the things that I find so interesting about those books is that she says that being made in the image of God is a very different thing from being God's image. And so she often doesn't use that phrase. She often will use to bear God's name instead. And so that's the call that we have as Christians, is to bear God's name. But to be made in the image, whether you're Christian or you're not, whether you're Indigenous or non-Indigenous, whether you have a disability or you don't have a disability, whether you're a child or not, like there's all these stipulations and categorizations that we have in our society today. And all of that doesn't matter because God created every single one of us in this room. And I always think that that's something that we're like, oh yeah, totally, I understand that, I get that, you know, everyone is made in the image of God. But what that means in practice, I think, is often lost on us. And I think that sometimes we're like, okay, yeah, you know, like we're all made in the image of God, but like what does that really mean? And so often, even that phrasing, we kind of get lost on. We talk about, if we look at actually, you know, that phrase and where it shows up in Scripture, it shows up in Genesis. It's Genesis 1, Genesis 5, Genesis 9. But then it doesn't show up again until the New Testament. And in there, it's almost exclusively used for Jesus and talking about Jesus as the image. And one of the things that I use to describe that is actually Jesus as the true human being. And Carmen, in her book, she talks about the image of God and how God is that image and how he is not just the ideal, but he is completely human. And he is the image not because he is God, but because he is human. And I think that that's a really important thing that we often miss is like, it's not everything about being human is bad. I mean, sometimes we have this theology where we're like, because of the fall, because of sin, we are worthless. And so, therefore, we need Jesus. And I think that sin gets in the way of us living into being that full image of who God intended us to be. But I don't think that it ever stopped us from being the image.
Yeah. And I really like this idea of every person is made in the image of God, but not every person, and I'm not sure I got the language exactly right, but not every person bears God's name in the world, right? When we think about, we have a lot of non-Christian people that we know that they are made in the image of God, but they don't necessarily bear his name. They don't bear his name because they don't want to, or they maybe don't know who Jesus is. And bearing his name in the world is about walking a good path. It's about being God's people. And so helpful for us to recognize even that distinction. Everybody is made in the image of God. And I think in this conversation, it's important for us as a church to sort of recognize, hey, we were called to bear God's name in the world. But actually, we did damage to God's name in the world in the way that the church has walked in the past. And that's part of reconciliation. It's about being honest about our history but together learning to walk that road together. Let me read, I mean, you when you were talking about being made in the image and how it shows up in the early chapters of Genesis, but then in Genesis, or back in the New Testament about Jesus being the image. So I just want to read this. And this precedes the Colossians text that I already read this morning in verses 19 to 20, but this is what comes before it. It says, the Son, meaning Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. And then it says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And so there's this sense in which, as we come to Jesus together, the image that Jesus kind of reflects about who God is into the world, it's something we participate in together, right? There's a sense in reconciliation begins to give the world a bigger picture of God's image in the world. And I think that that's ultimately what Colossians is getting at. And to me, church, this is why this is such an important road for the church to walk. Because as we learn to walk the road of reconciliation, we actually get to shine the light of God's image in a greater way into the world. And the reality is, if the world were simply to look at the image of God that I bear and that we bear in the world would see something. But for the world to see the image of God that Mackenzie bears in the world and in Mackenzie's circles, to see that, we get a bigger picture of what God's glory looks like. And so I'm thankful that we can walk this journey together. So as we think about walking the good road, what are some practical steps that we can take, on that journey?
Yeah. So I think one of the practical steps is looking at the idea of pride, shame, and then that judgment stigma portion. Because I think sometimes we have a pride of like, okay, my way is the right way, right? And we stop seeing the needs of others around us. And then we also have shame, which becomes internalized oftentimes. And so then there's that shame that says, okay, like, I'll just shrink down and I will make myself smaller. And I won't show all of who I am because that is seen as not right, not okay to do. And so we hide from that. Maybe we see ourselves as a little bit less desire or less worthy of the promise that God has given us. And, you know, in Genesis at the beginning, he talks about, you know, I have made you in my image so that you may rule over the fish and the birds and all of those things. And, you know, that's a verse that sometimes makes a trigger response fly up in me because I go, well, what does it mean to rule over? Oftentimes we have not done a good job of stewarding, not done a good job of shepherding. And, you know, I think about that Old Testament image of the shepherds, and like they were sleeping with the sheep. They actually lived with them. And so they knew all the ins and outs, all of the things about the sheep, and they protected them. That's what we're to do. That's what it means to be a true steward and to truly walk with God. And that's what it means to be an image bearer. And so I think one of the things that I'm looking at is right now in front of me is Ephesians. And in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm reading from the First Nations version of the Bible, so it might sound a little bit weird, but we'll read it. It says, take off that worn out and stained outfit of your past life with its selfish desires and worthless ways of thinking. It no longer represents who you are. You are now true human beings with a new way of seeing and thinking. Put on the regalia of your new life, for you have been made new, created again to look like the one who made you, standing in a good way and walking a true and sacred path. And so I think when I read that, I just say, okay, that's part of that shedding off of like, okay, Jesus has made us new, like we are free. And we sing songs, you know, like we did today about like, I'm free, hallelujah. But then sometimes we're like, oh, but I don't feel free. But I feel so worn down, like I suffer or I struggle. And that's okay, like, God isn't trying to erase all of that. And it's like, one day we'll be in heaven and it'll be good and we'll feel better. It's like, no, like, come to me, walk with me. And that's what it means. You know, walk with one another, your neighbor sitting beside you, the ones you know and the ones you don't, right? And I think that that's a really, really important part of being the image and of walking and of bearing God's name. And then Colossians is just my favorite book in the Bible. I love it, and so I'm also going to read from there. And there's a section called Dancing Our Prayers in chapter 3, and it starts at verse 16. It says, let the message of the chosen one become a deep watering hole inside of you. It will then become a refreshing spring as you teach and guide one another with wisdom and understanding. You will sing traditional prayers, sacred chants, and spiritual songs as you dance your prayers before the Great Spirit with glad and thankful hearts. Every step taken and each word spoken should be done to represent our honored chief, Creator sets free, who is Jesus. As you dance your prayers and give thanks through him to our Father, the Creator. And so I think about that and I'm like, that's what it means to walk as an Indigenous person, as an Indigenous Christian. We sing songs. In like an NIV translation, it's like, it talks about hymns, you know, it talks about different songs that you'd sing, like, you know, all the normal things, But I think in here, in this version, it's the same, but it's just slightly different. It's just, how do we honor God in our way? And part of that is through our spiritual songs. It's through our ceremonies. It's through things like powwows. And if you don't know what a powwow is, it's like a big gathering, and then we just dance for like days. And we camp together. Sometimes we'll have, you know, vendors, or there'll be like, you get some Indian tacos, which are just like bannock with like a bunch, like fry bread with a bunch of different meat and taco ingredients on there. So it's a fun time. And then they have something called intertribal dancing. And intertribal is like, it doesn't matter if you're a good dancer or not, if you're wherever you come from, you can come and join in. And so it's such a beautiful time of just community. And I'll use the word communion with one another. And so I think that's truly what it means. And I think that part of that is like, I honor all the things that you do, and you do the same for me. And I think that that's what's so, so important, that we, as we live as Christians, is that we honor one another, we listen to one another. And yes, we challenge each other, one another. We're like, hey, I don't know what you're doing over there. It seems a little strange. Why do you do that? But then you try to listen. You try to have an open and an attentive heart. So, yeah.
Yeah, Jesus transcends culture. Right? Jesus, you know, so to have a translation that kind of contextualizes what it means to be a follower of Jesus in a context, that's what all translations do. And yet we know that Jesus transforms culture, right? That he comes and he changes us to walk this good path, to be his people, to receive his grace and let him be the leader of our life. And it's really important for us to understand that relationship. Let me say a couple other little practical pieces as we draw the things to a close this morning. The first is, for those of you, when I was talking to Mackenzie earlier, one of the things, and I hope I don't kind of misrepresent the conversation, but one of the things that maybe frustrates someone who is maybe, Mackenzie's not representing all Indigenous peoples here today, right? She's representing herself. But one of the frustrations sometimes for some Indigenous Christians when you ask them or even just Indigenous people, hey, teach me about what's wrong. Why is there a problem? That's a really frustrating thing for an Indigenous person to have to do. And essentially, the answer is, hey, why don't you go and read some books, right? Like, why don't you take some time, rather than try and get the 30-second snapshot, why don't you take some time to educate yourself? And I think that's a really important thing for us to know as a church. And if you're looking for resources, you can go on our website. We have actually, over the last number of years, been collecting some resources. There are a few sermons that you can listen to, and there's a list of books to read, and that's just a really helpful place to understand, hey, what's the history and how can we be God's people in this area? That's on our website. You can go to Truth and Reconciliation. You'll find it there under the Ministries tab. And so that's one thing. The other thing that I want to say is, when we were having a conversation, Mackenzie was speaking about a conversation she had in a different context. It was a, you know, a white person, someone who looked like me, kind of coming up to her and saying, hey, how are we doing in this journey of reconciliation? And I want to say that, I want to say this about this. Reconciliation is a road that we walk as much as a destination we get to. And sometimes when we ask the question, hey, are we doing the right things? We're focused on the destination. Now, we know at the end of the day, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is a telos, there is a culmination of all things where we all worship Jesus because we see him for who he is. Yet, the focus right now is the journey. How can we walk a good path? So rather than ask the question, hey, are we doing good? Because it seems like we want to say, hey, have we reached the destination? We can ask the question, how can we continue to walk the good path? How can we walk the good path together? Do you hear the difference? There's a difference between a commitment to a journey as opposed to, hey, have we arrived at the destination yet? Like, have we solved the problem, right? Jesus solves the problem as we walk the journey. And that's our road to walk.
And Mackenzie, let me say, I am thankful for you in my life. This is an important important thing in my own life personally. But one of the missing pieces has been relationship to walk that journey here in Kelowna. And so I'm thankful for your friendship. I'm thankful for your leadership. Earlier, you mentioned, not feeling like there was a space for you to lead as a woman leader within the church. I want to affirm you. I see the gifts of Jesus in you, and he is launching you into this. He's called you into ministry, and he will equip you for the task. And so I want to bless you in that. Mackenzie and I are going to pray as we close this time, and then Mackenzie is going to close our time with a song, a worship song that she has written. And so why don't we pray? Mackenzie, do you want to start or do you want to finish?
Sure, I'll start.
You'll start, okay.
Creator, we just thank you so much for this time together. We thank you for the words that have been shared, the dialogue that we have had together. And we just pray that something would begin to sink in, that we would have a stirring that says, that made me uncomfortable. Let me press into that. Creator, we just thank you for our time of worship, for our time of praise. And we pray and continue that we would continue to do that. Into the week as we go about our days. We just pray that you would be present and that we would be attentive to how you are moving in our lives. We pray that we would be open to the journey that is not easy by any means, but is exhausting and difficult and scary sometimes. And we pray that you would affirm us, give us peace, and challenge us as we go about. We thank you.
Yeah, and Jesus, I just want to also thank you that we know that there is a road forward because of what you have done through the cross, that Jesus, you are reconciling all things. And so as we put our trust in you, and as we follow you as your disciples, we know that there is a future hope. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church to walk this good path with our Indigenous brothers and sisters, so that more and more would know of your glory, and more would come to find the fullness of life. Jesus, we want to affirm and bless and call out the image of God in Indigenous people across our city and across our province and country and across the world. You make beautiful things, Lord Jesus. And so we just want to give you thanks and praise for that. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to steward well our role in these relationships, to take ownership and repentance where it's needed, to take ownership of our part where there's been sin and repentance is needed. Lord, that's what I mean. But Lord, also that we would call out and champion people like Mackenzie who are leading the way for your name and for your glory. And so I pray your blessing on her today too. And we thank you that we can walk this road together, and we pray your blessing as we continue to move into the future together with you leading the way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, and so this song that I wrote is called Coming to the Drum. And Coming to the Drum is a song about what it means to be in this space together. It's a gathering song, and so that means when you start singing it, like people start joining in. And so I'm actually gonna ask you guys to try to sing along with me. It's okay if you fumble it a bit. It's hard to learn these songs, but they also catch on fairly quickly. And so one of the things, I'll just give you a little bit of a kind of information about the song. So the song was written with vocables and then also with an English portion. So it comes in a round. So a round is the first, it's kind of like when I sang like, way, hey, when I sang and then I stopped, that was a full round. And then I sang it again and I repeated. And so we sing it often four times. And so in this time, I sing Yahweh, hey, ya, hey, ya, hey, ya, hey, oh. So I sing that three times, and then I sing Elohe Weya Eo. And so I will sing those songs, and we sing that once. That's a full round. And then the third round will be in English. And then the fourth we'll finish together. And vocables are sounds that carry the meanings. But also within those vocables, I have some little hidden meanings. And part of that is the word Yahweh, which is the Israel, like Israeli word for God and for creator. And so I have that. And then I also include Elohe. And Elohe is a Cherokee word for steward. And it often means harmony, it means wholeness, it means abundance, it means peace. It means all of the things that we want to pray and live into. And so let's try to sing that together.
Can you turn my microphone down? Thanks, Mackenzie. I invite you to stand as I close the service. A few real quick announcements. If you would like prayer ministry, like we do at the end of the service, we'd love to have you be prayed for. So we have a team that would love to pray for you. A few quick shout outs. We have our Oasis coffee time happening June the 19th, and then also our Oasis luncheon on June 27th. Tickets are available outside. Just to let you know, Oasis is our retirement age group, and so we encourage you to those two particular events. Okay, church, as you go from this place, go as the commissioned people of God. May the Spirit fill you to walk a good path in the week ahead. Bless you. Go in peace.